We extend Christian greetings and welcome each one to the service this morning. We're glad to greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. I bring to you this morning two things. First of all, a book that is inspired. And it's wonderfully written, and we praise God for it. Then also bring a few scattered notes. And you don't need to pray about the book. It's perfect. It's right. But you can pray about the scattered notes. And that somehow God would grant us direction as we look into His Word this morning. And that we might be able to share those things that are on my heart in a way that God can be glorified. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I didn't specifically ask Brother Ken if I could preach from the book of Ephesians, but I did share with him a little bit the other day about this. And he, as we know, he's been preaching from the book of Ephesians, and I hope this in no way discourages him from continuing to do so if the Lord directs. But in my personal devotions, recently I came across reading this in Ephesians, and especially chapter 1. And there were a few verses that, especially one verse that kind of stood out that I know I've read it many times, but somehow it did not speak to me like it did the other day. And there's also been some experiences in my everyday life in dealing with the public and meeting people of all walks of life that has been stirring in my heart as my heart goes out to these people. And I help, trust by the grace of God, we can share in a way that is pleasing to Him. I'd like to just share a few things about Ephesians chapter 1. We have 23 verses. We want to read the entire chapter and comment on a few verses. But we will be expounding mostly from verses 15 through 23. There are 23 verses in this chapter, but only 5 periods. And so there's a lot of connections in thought in the scripture. I'm not sure if you'd find this in any other chapter or not in the Bible. I didn't pursue that. But I thought it was very interesting as I discovered this. And like I mentioned, I noticed something I had not noticed before in chapter 1. I was also vividly reminded as Christians that our citizenship is not of this world, but we seek one to come. And also something that is a great reality, Brother Ben referred to this morning already, and that we are only passing through this life. We're only passing through. And how long we are in passing, God Himself only knows. But one thing that we're very certain of, that life is very uncertain. And when we breathe our last breath, really isn't that important as it is what our relationship is with the one who holds the present as well as the future. And may God help us to recognize that. We are only passing through, however, as long as we are in this life, we are subject to those in authority. And as long as it doesn't violate the commandments of God, we are to obey those in authority who are of another kingdom. But this morning we want to talk about the kingdom of God. And I've entitled my message simply this. Maybe it's a favorite subject of many preachers, and it's a very familiar one. I've entitled it simply this: Christ, the Head of the Church. And may we never lose sight of that. And may God help us to recognize that. Paul in Romans 6 verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." And let's establish that in our hearts and in our minds. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. I appreciated the reading on the board this morning, that you might live worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in everything, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 2, verse 10. All right, now we're going to read the whole chapter of Ephesians. And may we, by the help and grace of God, as we read this, comprehend, be able to apply to our hearts, in our minds, what Paul here is writing to the Ephesian church. And I believe not only the Ephesian church, but to the church beyond, which includes us even today. And we find a number of different subjects here. Begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In verse 22, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I'm just going to make a comment or two here in these last two verses, and then we'll go to the beginning of the chapter and make a few comments, and then we want to come back to verses 15 to the end. But the verse that really spoke to me is verse 22, and where it says this, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Then he further states, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, there's a lot here that is a blessing, and I trust speaks to us, but I don't believe we'll fully comprehend it until we're over there in glory, until everything is perfected in completion, will we fully comprehend what Paul here was saying. But one of the things that I noticed in verse 22 was this. I've always known that Christ is the head of the church. We never question that. In verse 22 it says, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And we may share a little more on this. I certainly don't claim to fully understand this. But I believe the point that we want to look at this morning is this, that God has placed, he gave his son, sent him down this earth with a direct mission and purpose and fulfillment of his promises to his children. And he says, and gave him, and has put, God has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What a powerful gift that God has given us, his son, to be the head of the church, in whom all fullness dwells. This morning, may we, by the help of God, be able to somehow comprehend God's plan and purpose for the church of Jesus Christ. Do we fully understand it? And do we love the church? The Bible tells us very clearly that the church is the apple of God's eye. The question is, what is the church to you this morning? What is it to you? What is it to me? What do we understand that God's purpose is for the church today? As we think about this, now going back to verse 1 of chapter 1, I like, as Paul here states, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Paul here is simply saying, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God had a direct purpose for Paul. He used him. And he says he's now writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This morning, are you a child of God and are you faithful? Are you faithful to Christ Jesus? Are you faithful to the church? And I believe, you know, as we think of Paul, he says, yes, Paul was a man who was directly called by God with a mission. And he was an apostle. He was a foreteller. He was to preach the gospel message. And we have the printed page, a number of his writings, and they're inspired by God. And I praise God this morning for that. But I also like to impress upon our hearts and minds this morning that as we think of the church of Jesus Christ, God has called all of us out of the world of sin and darkness into, and we have, can we grasp that this morning? We're called out of, into, out of the world, into the marvelous light and life of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we think of people today that claim salvation, claim to be born again, and yet they do not see the need of becoming a part of the local body of believers. My heart cries out to them this morning. And I somehow want to impress upon us, if you don't already love and appreciate the local church, it's in the Word of God. We have incidents and example upon example in the scriptures about the church of Jesus Christ, how they met together as bodies of belief, as a body of believers. And so this morning, we want to go more into that a little later. But Paul here is saying, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the life of the Christian. He's called us out and into. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. This morning, it's not only the preacher that is to share the gospel message. It's all of us that are called out of darkness when we receive the light. That light is to be manifested in the way we live and to bring honor and to bring glory to Jesus Christ. This morning, and the older I get, the more I see that God wants His Spirit to dwell in us, and He wants to manifest Himself in our walk of life. And you know, I fail so many times miserably, and yet I praise God for forgiveness, and we can get up again, and by His grace and His mercy and His power, and we can seek to be a light to a shining world that we're living in, and to the lost world that we're living in. And the church of Jesus Christ today, the Bible tells us, is like a city that's sitting on a hill. And what is it? It's light. I don't know about you, but I've already flown numerous times at night. And sometimes, you know, you wonder where you're at. You look down and you see some stars above you, and you look down and you don't really see any sign of life. You're just floating up there. And all of a sudden you come to a huge city. It's got a lot of light. And there's just something about that connection where there's people, where there's light, and you can see it. And finally you get to the place where there's a lot of lights, and you see an airport and you land. And so it's a blessing. You know, I'm thankful this morning that God didn't just place me out there on a mountain all by myself somewhere as a hermit. But He placed me among people. And He placed me among brothers and sisters. And called me out into a relationship. Not only with Him, but also with you. Also with you. And this morning, may God help us to recognize and appreciate that blessing and that privilege. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's not only the Apostle Paul that experienced spiritual blessings. You and I, as well, through Jesus Christ, can experience these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Brothers and sisters, this morning we cannot accomplish that in our own strength. There's a higher power been given to us to be able to accomplish that by the help and grace of God. And he says in verse 5, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. When we talk about adoption here, I don't fully understand all that. But I praise God we're adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. I remember being in Canada one time, maybe the first time I'd ever been out of the country, or into Canada at least. And I met this dear brother that I knew quite well, and he had adopted two children. And as he was standing there in line there before we went into the auditorium, and people were coming to and met us, welcomed us. And his son was standing beside him, and he introduced himself, and he said, this is my son. He said, I bought him, paid for him. You should have seen the expression on that son's face. He was just beaming. Yes, he was an adopted son, but there was a connection between that father and that son. And the father was not ashamed to say, "This is my son. I bought him." He was a little different nationality. He couldn't have said, "No, this is my born son." Wouldn't have worked. But he said, "This is my son. I bought him and I paid for him." And that son was satisfied to identify with his father. And to be purchased didn't make any difference. I praise God for that relationship. But this morning, we also, because of Jesus Christ, can have a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God. Praise God this morning. But let's notice what he says. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's notice why. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Where he has made us accepted in the beloved. We talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, about in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, Jesus healed that man, but he said first, "Your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you." And isn't that beautiful? You know, when you do something wrong to a brother or to your wife, it's difficult to have a good relationship. But when you confess that sin, that wrong, that failure, and you experience forgiveness, it restores a relationship. And that's beautiful. Talked to a man one time. I think he was been married 62 years. And I was commending him for his wife had just died a few weeks before that, for his long marriage. And he said, "Yes." He said, "My wife and I determined that we never go to sleep angry at each other or with something between us. We always cleared that." And he contributed that to his success in marriage. This morning, are we grateful for the forgiveness of sin? For the privilege of being and blessed of being restored into a right relationship with God. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I appreciated a comment or a statement that I read in the Pulpit Helps about this, verses 9 and 10. And he says this: God's purpose is to form a united kingdom consisting of the unfallen and the restored. The unfallen in heaven. We know there were some fallen angels. And it says the unfallen in heaven and the restored on earth. And to gather this whole body together under Christ as its head. We cannot say that this purpose has been fully effected as yet, but things are moving towards it. And one day it will be wholly realized. Then it quotes Revelations 21:5. He that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Won't that be wonderful someday? Brothers and sisters, if we remain faithful to God, if we accept him as Lord and Savior, And we experience the forgiveness of sins. And we are restored into our right relationship with the Father through the gift of His Son. We praise Him for that. And someday, as it says here in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Those that are in Him in the earth and those that are in heaven. The day is coming. We talked about reunions this morning. But there's a reunion coming that has never been anything like it. When all the saints will be gathered together. And this old earth will burn up and be no more. And we'll be in the glories of heaven forever. Can you comprehend it? Can you think about it? Yes, we can think about it. But we can never fully comprehend all that's going to take place. Then he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you have trusted in Christ, received Him as your Savior, and you are part of the body of Christ, then you are to live for the praise of His glory. For the praise of His glory. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now I know there's a lot of different versions about this, about being sealed. But I remember brother sharing this many years ago. And he said a sister, when she cans, you know, she puts her fruit or whatever she's canning, she places it in a jar and she puts it in a boiling water and has a lid on it, you know. And when that goes through the proper process, that lid seals. It preserves that which is in that container. And he said it remains that way until she chooses to take the seal, break the seal. This morning, we are sealed. But I believe we can break the seal. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all these saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Then in verse 19 he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Isn't that beautiful as we see that verse? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? To usward who believe? To usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Then he says in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This morning, as I think of the church of Jesus Christ, as I think of all the promises that we have in this scripture and the power that we have to live. Not power in our own strength, but in the power of God. And of all that which we can experience even in this life. But also as we look forward to that which we can obtain in the life beyond. In life beyond. Like I mentioned, I had some numerous opportunities in the last several weeks. And it seems it's so easy today for people to talk about God, about salvation, and about the blessing of God. Recently, I was talking to a man, and he wasn't that young anymore, and he had a younger lady with him, some small children. And he said, I used to live so-and-so place, but he said, now I'm moving in with her. And later when I called him up, he had a message on his answering machine, and he said, God bless you. We like when people bless us. But somehow in my heart, something didn't seem right. I'm moving in with this lady. And yet he's telling me, God bless you. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're living in a world. We're living in the world which is the kingdom of darkness. We're living in the world when people want their freedom to do what they want. For emphasizing the Constitution, freedom of speech. It's not wrong to write on our buses about evolution, about being an atheist, freedom of speech. Had another lady who was telling me about something that took place. And she said, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not wrong to thank Jesus. But she asked me to come to her place to check out about placing a building. And as I went there, I looked over to the side of the yard. And maybe I shouldn't have done this. But I said, is that yours? No, my brother lives on the other side. He placed that there. He placed it there. I told you, our family is very dysfunctional. We don't function together very good. And she said, I told my brother, my mom and my dad would not do this, but I'm going to press you to the end. And that, beside her yard, I've never seen anything like it, was pieces of metal, 3 feet wide, probably 12 feet long, stacked tight together, almost from the road to way in the backyard. Solid. So he would not have to look at his sister. My sister look at him. She said, I know my mom and dad wouldn't go along with this. But she, you know, she has a testimony for the Lord, you'd say. But where is the living? Where's the evidence? I'm not here to judge this morning. But you know, that wall just cries out to me as I saw it. It cried out to me. Here are people that know what the Bible teaches. She said he has an office in the church. And that's what he did. This morning, it's not what's out in the world. It's the same enemy that's out there in control is trying to come into the church and to mire the church, to mire the witness. And frequently they'll come and say, this is my fiance. This is my girlfriend. This is my boyfriend. But they're living together as husband and wife. And many times there's indications they claim to be Christians, children of God. This morning, we decide what's right and what's wrong. But this morning, unless it coincides with the Word of God, it will be of no value whatever. And really, My concern is not so much that this is out there, but how the same mentality can come into our churches. Allow me to say this. These people want the benefits of marriage, of a relationship, but they don't want the commitment. They don't want the commitment. And I see this same thing happening among so-called Christian people. They want a relationship with God. They want forgiveness of sins. They want the blessing and the benefit of the church. But they don't want to commit themselves to the brotherhood. It's sad. This morning, I believe when there's true repentance, true confessing of our sins, coming out of the world into the marvelous light and life of Jesus Christ, I believe there's going to be a desire to become a part of a body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that this morning. I've said already, you know, as many of you know, I'm the youngest of 19 children. I'm the little one that came along behind. And many of my brothers, well, they had all left home already except one, I guess, when I was born. And so I missed out on a lot. But I praise God that He gave me another family that I love and appreciate today. That's the church, the local body of believers. Even though in latter years, I enjoyed many of my brothers and sisters and counted their friendship, their relationship very highly, appreciated it. But I believe that little experience, that absence in early years of my life has helped me to recognize the blessing it is to be a child of God and to be a part of the family of God and enjoy this relationship. Recently, I was talking to a brethren, and I think I didn't quite catch what he said. I think he said he's a diehard homeschooler and teaches his children at home. I'm not saying that's wrong at all. But he said, my brother is also one. But he said, I just can't stand the way my brother talks. He said he homeschools, and now he says that the Lord has told him he's to have a home church. So he has church by himself with his children. He said, my brother doesn't trust anybody else to have input in his children's life. And he said, I'm a homeschooler. And like I said, he said, diehard one. But he said, I still want other people to influence my life. Older people. He said, I want you to influence my children. I don't meet them very often. But that's my privilege, if I can, by the grace of God, influence their lives. And he said, I just see the need. Even though I homeschool and school them, he said, I see the need of others in the church, of being an example to my children. And I want my children to be involved in the lives of others. May God help us this morning that we recognize the joy and the blessing of relating together and being open to each other, loving each other, admonishing each other, encouraging one another. And the Bible tells us very clearly, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Brethren, if we cannot see the day approaching, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'd like to go to just very briefly to these two verses again. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a beauty and what a blessing it is for Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. There is no other head for the church to prosper, to make it to glory, but through Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 25 through 27. For he must reign. Maybe you should begin reading verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. When he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now I'd like to read this in another translation. And I read a number of translations and I made copy of this. And I think this was the NIV, but I'm not real sure. But I'd like to read this in the NIV, verse 25. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has given him authority over all things. Of course, when it says authority over all things, it does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then when he has conquered all things. Pardon me, I lost the name. Then when he has conquered all things, the Son will present himself to God, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. Isn't this beautiful as we think about that? As we think of Christ being the head of the church, but the Bible tells us also clearly that he is also as everything under him, under his feet. And I believe we could say that is, not sure if I totally understand this, but the feet of judgment. When God sent his Son down onto this earth, he gave him power and authority. As it says here in Ephesians 1. Then he says in verse 19, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Yes, we're living in a world today that claims the freedom of speech, the freedom to believe what you want to believe. But the day is coming when Christ is going to reveal his authority. And the saints which have been redeemed are going to go with him when he returns again. And we will be in his presence and we will be there forever. Praise be to God this morning. And as it says here, that so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. When Christ returns, he will take his own back with him and bring them under the authority of the Father as he himself will be. What a blessing, what a joy that will be as we think about that. So this morning, I praise God for every provision that He has provided for our salvation, for our redemption, for our cleansing, that we can be restored into a right relationship with God. Also recognize He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light for the purpose of bringing honor, of bringing glory to Him. And that our lives are to speak to those whom we meet. And He's also called us into the local body of believers. And brothers and sisters, I think we need to recognize this morning the importance of being children of God that bring honor and glory to Him. I like, as one writer states, there is one life in Christ and the church. The same blood pulsates through the head and through the members of the body. The blood of Christ must not only be applied to the Christians, as some people say, but in them drunk as wine of life. Thus, by close communion with Christ, in faith, in submission, and obedience, the very life of Christ will flow through us so that we can say, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ, it is a kingdom. Christ presides over the church. He is the head of the body. The church is not a republic. It is a kingdom, and Christ is its king. His taught teaches, His will commands us. His Spirit gives us grace in order to all the movements of the body. The church is one in Christ. The head has but one body. And I trust we recognize that this morning. And just as a body is connected to the head and its various organs in the church, we, as we're connected to the head and we get our direction from the head, then it's beautiful how the body of Christ, the church, will bring honor, bring glory as we function together in the different capacities. You know, my body has a lot of members, and yours has a lot of members. But there's only a few of these members that we have in our body that are exposed, that are visible. But praise be to God, as our body functions and it receives life from the head, and then it's going to bring honor and glory to Him. Not our own strength, but because of Christ working in our hearts. And you know, if you remove my head, my body would die. And I'm afraid sometimes the head is removed from the church, but it still tries to function. This morning, if we function as a body of believers under the head, Jesus Christ, and then our deeds will be such that bring honor and glory to God and are pleasing to Him. In studying for this, I came across the quote, I wasn't even looking for this, about the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll share this because we just finished studying about that. It said, the Sermon on the Mount, a man might as soon find heat in an iceberg as rest in disobedience to the sayings of the Son of God. Think about that. A man might just as soon find heat in an iceberg as rest in disobedience to the sayings of the Son of God. May God help us this morning that we live a life of obedience because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience comes from a relationship. It comes from a relationship. You know, when you observe children and their parents, when there's disobedience, often there's no relationship. When they don't respond and obey their parents when they tell them to not do something or to do something, it's usually because of a broken relationship. This morning, may God help us that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Shall we kneel in prayer? Our eternal Father in heaven, we thank You and we praise You this morning for the privilege of being here as a group of Thy children. Thank you for thy word. We thank you for its purity, its holiness. And we thank you, Father, for your love that you have manifested to us by sending your Son and giving him all the authority, and that his willingness to make a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, accepted by you, that we could be restored into a right relationship with you, and we could experience the forgiveness of sins. We also thank you for your word, and we thank you for your scripture that speaks about Jesus being the head of the church. And thank you, Father, that we can be a body of believers. And Lord, may we take to heart your truth and apply them to our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray if there's someone here that has not yet committed their life to you, you would draw them as you have told us in your word. No man can come unto the Father unless the Father draw him. So draw this morning for thy own glory and praise. And if someone here that has a relationship with you but has never become part of a body of believers, Father, speak to them as well. Give them that desire to be a part of your body, of your brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.